Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Hello! It is hour number two. Gallant and George.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. We have a texter who says, hey man, if you know the plays, it's bleeping cheating. People lost their jobs because Michigan cheated. Huh. Astros cheating has warped your mind.
Okay. You know what? Fair take. But
it 100% has.
I have a really hard time, like, if you're an Astros fan.
So is Patriots cheating.
Not being okay with Michigan. Like,
they're our brothers in arms. They're being persecuted. Don't you understand? We have to stand for them, just like we stood for ourselves.
I kind of agree. Like, you do.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
We must stand with our tridents at the ready to defend the honor of those who are so successful that they have created jealous, bitter haters. This is how your mind warps. It's fine to let your mind warp like this. It's fun. There aren't actually any consequences for this. This idea that somebody would have been out of a job because they lost to Michigan over the last 3 years is insane. Dang. There are other losses that happened. Because if Ryan Day was actually getting in trouble for losing to Michigan, he would no longer be the head coach of Ohio State.
That's the thing with Michigan. And the old Big Ten now, is that for the most part, they probably didn't need to cheat against Central Michigan. Or they definitely didn't need to cheat against Central Michigan.
They could have rolled the balls out.
They didn't need to cheat against, I mean, what, who got fired recently? Did, like, Purdue lose to Michigan and that's why they got fired? Also, was Purdue going to beat Michigan
exactly.
If they weren't science stealing?
Exactly.
Like, the Big Ten is so, like, there's four good teams, or... Again, used to be. Now there's a couple more. There's four good teams in the Big Ten every year.
Yes.
Whereas Ohio State, Michigan, maybe Penn State, but they're clearly worse than the other two. And then you had an Iowa, a Wisconsin in a certain year. For the 90% of their games, it had no effect on the outcome because I also don't think that knowing the signs of the other team is that big of an advantage in football. Like you said, the communication to actually exercise that advantage is so hard.
And all it takes is one person's changing the signals up for that actually to be a disadvantage where you think something's coming and you expect it and it doesn't come. That's all it takes is just that little change. You just have to do the little change. It's extra thinking. I'm 100% spinning it. I will admit it, though. I'll admit it. But it's fun to spin it. There weren't really any people that lost jobs because of this. People are saying you Darvish for the Dodgers after the Astros absolutely walloped him in those World Series.
He's still in the league.
Yeah.
To this day.
He's exactly.
The guys who they talk about are the guys who tried to sue the Astros or Major League Baseball who they were nobodies.
It's always bums who knew that they had nothing to lose and they could burn the bridge with the league so they could go after it in a way, shape, or form.
Yeah, like in 2022, I don't know, did the UConn football coach get fired because they lost 59-0 to Michigan?
Mm-hmm.
Or were they going to win that game? Like, that's the counterfactual that's, like, not getting talked about is... Were these teams going to win and then therefore not get fired?
Well, and then, like, I do think that's the dumb part about cheating is sometimes, like, I guess maybe you're doing it so you can try to have it mastered and ready to go for when you actually play Ohio State. Most of the time you just get caught before a good team. Like, the Astros are a good example of this. They got caught And people knew about it before the Dodgers World Series. And even if they tried to do it, it was so loud in that stadium, there's no way they effectively could have done it. So it was a total waste of time anyways. They got caught against a bum-ass White Sox team. Like when,
they got greedy.
In an empty stadium.
Yeah.
Like, you get greedy. Like, that's what happens is they push the line. You push it, you push it. And that's what all these teams do. That's why, to me, yes, Michigan got caught, but they're not the only school to do it. Because all these teams are doing in pro and college sports is pushing and pushing and pushing. And then eventually someone shows up on a sideline and a fake mustache and you get caught.
Yeah. It is a little bit like the Astros in the way that, like, it's the most, like, kind of ridiculous version of this, where it's like Connor Stallions, who's an absolute clown of a human being.
Yeah.
Where I honestly think that 75% of the why the Astros scandal was as big as it was A, because in baseball people only like to talk about the scandals nationally, and also because they banged a trash can.
Yeah.
Like, if they banged any other object, it would not be as funny as because it was literally a trash can.
Exactly. It's funny. And, you know, to make the comparison to New England, Deflategate was ridiculous. Spygate, I can understand why people were so worked up about it. I'd also say I don't think it provided as much of an advantage because the technology was even weaker back then. But Deflategate, there was a guy named the Deflator. And we were talking about balls.
Yeah.
Deflated balls. It was funny.
Yeah.
And everyone lost their mind about it because it was the second time that they were involved in something. So they went over the top with it. And then everyone at the end of the day found out, oh, wait, this wasn't the big deal that it was made out to be at first. This is not saying that it's okay to do it. This is just saying that generally the coverage of a cheating scandal in sports is overdone to the point that you think that everything that they have ever done is a byproduct of that, when in reality it's, they're shady.
Yeah.
And I will take being shady if it means I got rings. Yeah. I don't care. You know what? The sleaziest mother bleepers who are up at the top of the list of billionaires in the United States of America, they probably killed people to get there. Killed them.
Yeah.
Drank their blood out, perhaps, after the fact. These are what these people do. That's what winning takes. You got to do the tough things.
It's also a situation of, like, you get caught because you're winning and at the top. And we don't really concern ourselves with, like, well, what if SMU is doing this? No one cares. no one cares.
That's the other part
if a team that's going – if University of Miami football is doing this, because guess what? They're going to go 8-4 anyway.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't – like, at a certain point, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, like, there's just – and that's where it's just like the Astros were, like, we all know what the Astros did, but we also know what the Rockies did, and we also know that there's other teams that cheated, and players mm-hmm. have called them out, and we know that guys like Joey Votto have made it clear that the Astros were not the only one. It's the same thing with this. It's why, like, I just can't get worked up over Michigan football – doing this, because there's no way that Michigan and a coach like Jim Harbaugh is not telling his buddies what he's doing, and they're not doing the same thing. If you get that mad about Michigan, I'm sorry. I just think you're naive to the world. It's like the idea that only Barry Bonds was the only one juicing. Like, it's crazy.
That's another good example because, okay, everyone that we've talked about that has gotten punished or, in Barry Bonds' case, has become the face of this. It is 2017 Astros won the World Series. 2018 Red Sox got punished for it, less than the Astros, but still got punished. 2018 World Champions. No other baseball player has got in trouble for sign stealing other than people on those two teams, or executives or coaches or whatever. Only those Carlos Beltran, who was on the 2017 Astros, was the only other guy who got ramifications from the Mets because he was fired from being their manager. The Michigan football won the championship and beat Ohio State and won the Big Ten the last 3 years. Barry Bonds, home run champion. Like, these guys that – Sammy Sosa hit 60 home runs. And Mark McGwire hits 60-something home runs. It's only guys that are at the very, very top. And if cheating is so effective, then shouldn't people that are not at the top be doing it?
I like that.
And then why are we not catching them? Why are we not – making them the faces of this.
Why do we not care when they get caught? Boston Red Sox, 2018, won the World Series. Huh, interesting. The guy that they fired and brought back not too long later, never discussed. Yeah. He is the third highest paid manager in all of baseball. Alex Cora, if you've read that book about the Houston Astros, doesn't exactly seem like Alex Cora is really a leader that you would want running things, if you will. Chug, chug. We haven't heard from Jim Harbaugh. We have a quote from Jim Harbaugh at a Chargers introductory press conference being asked about Michigan football. Never changed, Jim Harbaugh. Here is the head coach of the Chargers.
Yeah, I do have a comment on that. Never lie, never cheat, never steal. I was raised with that lesson. I have raised my family on that lesson. I have preached that lesson to the teams that I've coached. No one's perfect. If you stumble, you apologize, and you make it right. Today, I do not apologize. I did not participate, was not aware, nor complicit in those said allegations. So for me, it's back to work and attacking with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Hell yeah.
God, he just like threw Sharon Moore under the bus, though, by saying that. That he had no knowledge, and then more that we know there's deleted text messages with him and Connor Stallions. That's like, you're not in the game anymore, dude. Just fall on the sword.
Well, he doesn't have to fall on the sword, though. He left. He won the national title at Michigan for the Michigan men.
He really Pete Carrolled it.
Sharon Moore, by the way, who seems very supportive of Jim Harbaugh, I think he's totally fine taking the falling on the sword for Jim Harbaugh.
Probably got a lot of money for it.
Because also, what sword are they falling on? Like, what is actually going to happen? Sharon Moore got promoted to the head coach of Michigan football.
Yeah, like
I am okay if he has to get suspended for two games. Like, he should be fine with that. That is a fair trade for what just happened. I will say, though, one thing about Jim Harbaugh. I generally hate it when especially college coaches pull the, I had no idea that my staff was cheating. Like, whether it's recruiting violations, whether it's this stuff, where it's like, you mean to tell me that these guys that oversee, that are basically emperors of a small town, of a small business, just, wait, what's Connor Stallions been up to lately? Like, no, come on, dude.
Junior Broncos brings up Astros should have never talked. Wouldn't it have been great if they never said anything? I'm assuming they were strong-armed into doing what they ended up doing eventually.
I think there were too, and
I think the immunity was like,
because what happened after, like, the Astros talked, and then a couple other players started yapping their mouths, specifically obviously the Dodgers, we all know it. And then Tony Perez and the Major League Baseball's Players Association stepped in, was like, hey dudes, all of you shut up. Like, stop talking. And it really feels like they talked without talking to representation first. Like, before they talked to the PA and let this can of worms get open. Yeah, if they just never talked, then all you have is a one-sided Mike Fire story and a couple photos and a letter sent that Jeff Luno never shared with anyone.
Mm.
Like, that's all you really have. Like, yeah. If they never talk, there's really nothing that goes with it.
From the 832, can't wait for y'all to eat crow on this. Oh, no, I'll never eat crow on this. I celebrate a team that cares about me so much. It's the realest of love languages.
Also, doing eat crow on what?
Doing illegal things to make me happy. That's what our government does every single day.
What are we going to eat crow
on? Yeah, like, what's the worst thing that happens here? They get, what's it called, Sean? A show cause penalty where you're not allowed to be hired by a school without being interviewed by, like, a secondary committee.
Yeah. Oh. Like, oh no. Jim Harbaugh can't go back to college for 3 years.
Like, okay. Like, their title gets stripped. Do I care?
No. Well, also, if you read all the guys that have the like highest penalty, like, because there's, I think, level one and level two penalties. Sharon Moore is at a level two penalty, which is better off. He's better off doing it. Which I think there's something with the deleted texts with him and Connor Stallions where they're able to recover them. And so if they weren't able to recover them, probably wouldn't have a level one violation. But because they were able to cover them and they're being called at level two, that kind of speaks to, like, it's probably not that salacious. It's not, hey, go to Central Michigan, wear a fake mustache. So all the guys that have level ones, guess where they work? Los Angeles Chargers. It's not going to be an issue.
Yeah.
I am wondering, just this final thing, though, as you said, working for the Chargers, I am wondering if the NFL does what they did with Jim Tressel, where they suspended him, even though he was, what, like a consultant?
Yeah, consultant for the...
For conduct detrimental to the game, because there was this big, chesty huff and puff, I believe, during the early NFL offseason, that Harbaugh would face discipline at the NFL level if he were to jump ship for the NFL. Now, Pete Carroll never saw that, so double standard there, and Jim Harbaugh would be the first person to point at Pete Carroll, because I don't think he likes him very much. Vice versa. I think the feeling is mutual.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see on that front. Anyway, Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join on Twitch. You can join on YouTube. Coming up next, conflicting reports about what the Houston Texans could be doing right now. Are they about to add somebody? We'll discuss. Stick around.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
The news today in Houston sports, the Astros lost a rough one to the Texas Rangers 5-4. They had a 2-1 lead. Ryan Presley allowed a home run by Corey Seager. They had a, 4-3 lead, 3-2 lead, I forget. Whatever the case, they lost, okay? I don't really want to relive the details. All I know is the two bullpen arms effed up, and they had the bases loaded like three times. And they were able to get one run in two of those instances. But unfortunately, guess what? It was courtesy of a hit by a pitch. And on top of that, courtesy of an infield single. The update for the Houston Texans today is this. Titus Howard was carted off of the practice field for the Houston Texans in Ohio. But he looked fine leaving the cart. We're going to ask DJ Bien-Aimé about Cartgate at 2:30 this afternoon. There were conflicting reports last night about paths the Houston Texans could take. We discussed yesterday how the Tennessee Titans signed safety Quandre Diggs, most recently with the Seattle Seahawks, to a bargain of a deal. Diggs was the guy I wanted the Houston Texans to sign the most at safety. 1 year, $5 million. For a guy who can hit hard and also plays a really good center field for a team on the Texans that kept on giving up big plays deep downfield, I would have liked him, but okay, he's in Tennessee. So the top safety left on the market is Justin Simmons, most recently with the Denver Broncos, and we saw a couple of different reports. First, Patrick Storm, who is in some way connected with the Houston Texans, who are definitely less of a leaky ship than they were the last few years, saying, quote, "The Texans have been in contact recently and made an offer to safety Justin Simmons, according to a league source. Simmons is rumored to be looking to sign with a contender, and Houston checks that box. But our guy DJ reported this. There are rumors saying that the Texans offered safety Justin Simmons a contract. The team source told me that this is incorrect and that they like their safeties. Continue, DJ. We'll see if anything changes as time progresses." Team source is going to deny that until the signature is put on a contract. So DJ's not denying that this is possible. Mm-hmm. DJ's just saying that the team is denying it.
Yeah, and my biggest thing is, like, you sure you're good with that safety room? And Matt Burke said it again today. DJ, it looks like he asked him a question about it. While they were meeting with the media, and the DC said that they feel good about safety, the safety position. I don't quite understand how they do if they're going to really move Petrie to, you know, a nickel corner spot this year. Kalen Bullock, I know he had a pick six versus Davis Mills, but whoop-de-doo in practice today. So I still think there's a pretty good chance Justin Simmons is a Texan. I would be surprised if they went into the season having a player of that quality on the free agent market and not making a move. I would be disappointed by that.
Yeah, I would too. I feel like it's the clear weak link of their defense. You could maybe go a step further and say it's the weakest link of their team. We find out Titus Howard's hurt. Okay, well, we might be back on the offensive line again. But yeah, I'm surprised, especially with how cheap Quandre Diggs was. Local guy, too. I guess there was just no interest in him. And maybe it's a size thing because Diggs is a smaller guy. He's 5'9". So that could have been it.
I think Nick Caserio is pretty big about the measurable side, at least when it comes to the draft. Kalen Bullock's like 6'3", playing safety. So that could be part of it. Simmons maybe fits that mold a little bit more. We'll see. But I don't think this is done. I think right now the Texans are just publicly denying it. But we've still got a month until the start of the year.
Yeah, that countdown needs to get moving up, though. I'm ready for football. The Astros keep playing like this. It's just making me antsier.
What about Hard Knocks?
Yeah, I'm not watched tonight. But I have low expectations.
The monsters of the midway.
It'd be nice to hear Liv. Or Liv, what's Liv Schreiber? Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
It'd be nice to hear his voice again.
He deserves his name pronounced correctly. He's not CJ Flubbles, Hendersonville. The guy, that guy.
I don't know that.
Caleb
Ferguson.
Okay. My bad. Thank you. I was close. See,
call back to the first set.
Translator. Sometimes the show needs a translator. That's Sean.
Listen, Liev Schreiber, it's Ray Donovan. Okay.
It's true.
That's the guy in X-Men Origins as well.
I mean, Sabretooth.
Yeah.
He's not in Deadpool. That disappointed me.
Maybe a different Sabretooth.
Yeah. They show that one in the trailer, so I don't feel bad about spoiling that one. I'm not excited about Hard Knocks. I want to be, but they kind of butchered it. Like, they don't show as much anymore. Like, if the Texans were on it right now, like, what are they showing? These hits on Stephon Diggs as Jimmy Ward keeps trying to take him out to make sure he can't make week one?
Even then, it wouldn't be like...
Iron sharpens iron.
It wouldn't be like, hey, Stephon Diggs, don't you kind of BS some of these hits that Jimmy Ward's putting on you? Like, they don't do that. It would only be D'Amico Ryans being like, man... Blake Fisher has been awesome. Or like Kamari Laster. Actually, it would be Kamari Laster. Stars training kid. Like, they would be treating him like he's going to be Darrell Revis. Mm.
Do you know what I love?
What do you love, Paul?
This is something else that happened at practice today, and it continues. Derek Stingley is low-key turning into a villain. Derek Stingley had an interception at practice today, and after the play was over, he went over to the offensive sideline and threw the ball at it. Now, I don't know how he threw the ball, but Stingley is cheap-shotting Dalton Schultz. Stingley is, after every interception at a training camp practice in front of fans, running over to the fans and gassing them up.
He's got that dog, Paul.
Well, I think he's got confidence.
Yeah.
On a level that he probably didn't quite have his first 2 years in the league. And there are only a few positions where I like a guy to have an outrageous amount of confidence. One is quarterback, and the other is cornerback. Wide receiver to a degree, but it gets old because it's like, I need the ball. But a corner with an ego, with confidence, and that can actually be resilient when he gets... beaten, because every corner is going to get beaten from time to time. I like that. And I did not know that Derek Stingley had this golf club in his bag as he continues to acquire more clubs.
I like it. Like, he should be traveling this year with the best receiver on the field and talk his trash and get his interceptions. Like, I want him all over Michael Pittman week one. He should follow him wherever he goes. I don't know if they'll do that. They didn't do it last year. It actually kind of annoyed me. But I mean, Stingley's awesome when he's healthy. He was incredible as a freshman at LSU. Like you knew he was going to be a top 10 pick then. Then all the injuries happened and like it got more convoluted. But like, he's sick. So I kind of like that he's doing this. We're going to need more details on this football throw, though.
I need to know the throw. Is it more of a flip?
Yeah.
A flip play. Like,
he chuck it at him.
We'll get the details.
He throw it at CJ Stroud's head.
See, that would be awesome.
I'd like the move if you would to like, hand it to CJ Stroud. Like, walk over and hand it back to CJ Stroud.
That would be good, but you know what would be better? To walk over and hand it to CJ Stroud and then drop it and then walk away.
Yes.
Or
even better,
to look like you're about to hand it to Stroud and then punt it into outer space like you're Brandon Marshall at Dolphins practice back in the day. That is my all-time favorite wide receiver diva moment, was when Brandon Marshall's at Dolphins training camp practice. Balls are being thrown his way, and he is just knocking them into the ground and punting them away. This is a complete a-hole. And then after the fact, it was found out, like, oh, well, he has some mental health issues. Oh, you don't say.
It's Just a little bit.
Just a little.
He's super talented, though.
Now he's podcasting.
Yeah, always be podcasting.
But also lost teammates on his podcasting because apparently he was difficult to work with.
Oh, no. I didn't see that.
No.
Well, Brandon Marshall used to be with Ryan Clark and I believe Channing Crowder. I could be wrong.
He was. I don't know if it was the pivot or they pivoted.
They pivoted
away
from him.
Okay. Yeah,
that might be why they call it the pivot. But Brandon Marshall.
It was basically the pivot with Brandon Marshall. And
I didn't realize that Marshall was no longer with them.
Yeah, he does his own thing.
Yeah, he's doing something else now. Good he enough. Still gets people, too, on his podcast, but the pivot has pivoted to another level of podcasting. Hashtag always be podcasting. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We are 30 days away from the start of the NFL season. We got to remember, the best number 30 of all time and the invention of a touchdown celebration that was the bee's knees back in the late 90s. Were Joe George and Sean Mapes old enough to remember it? I don't think so. You'll find out next.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
We are 30 days away from the start of the NFL season. We are officially less than the longest month of the year and the official length of the other 5 months of the year that aren't February.
Yeah.
I sounded not confident when I said that.
Yeah.
I gotta fake it till I make it. We are 1 month away officially now, though. You can't argue it unless you're one of those people that thinks February is how long a month normally should be. 29, 28.
4 weeks. That's 28 days.
Mm-hmm. Terrell Davis is the best number 30 of all time. NFL Hall of Famer. Incredible with the late 90s Denver Broncos. John Elway does not get his first Super Bowl or second Super Bowl without Davis. This was in the midst of the Broncos' attempt to defend their championship, which they ultimately went on to do. I believe they started the season 13-0 or 14-0, but Terrell Davis ran for 2,000-plus yards, capping it off against the Seattle Seahawks towards the end of the 98-99 season.
Bit of NFL history. Terrell Davis can become only the fourth player in NFL history to go over 2,000 yards. He is 7 yards shy of that mark. He's behind Elway by himself. He takes the handoff running left. Terrell breaks a tackle. He's got it. There it is. Terrell Davis is mobbed by his teammates on the sideline. He has just become only the fourth player in NFL history to go over 2,000 yards in a single season. And a standing ovation by the Bronco faithful here at Mile High Stadium as everybody chants TD.
They were an absolute dreadnought that season.
That music is so great, though. I love NFL Films music. It's like almost like the Avengers all of a sudden are coming out. It's great.
I knew it would bring a Marvel.
I know. I'm a nerd. I'm a huge nerd.
Nothing wrong with being a nerd.
Also, you just
I used to love Marvel. That now I'm just like, yeah.
I forgot that now I can't like Google Terrell Davis anymore with just seeing all of his United stories.
That's true.
That's all that pops up now when you Google Terrell Davis.
I had to look through it. Well, old friend James Palmer, who used to be with the NFL Network, but now is doing stuff with the Denver Broncos. There's actually a video online explaining the origin of the famous touchdown celebration that those Denver Broncos teams had. The Mile High Salute. You guys ever done a Mile High Salute?
Nope.
I mean, I've done a salute, but I haven't done a Mile High Salute.
Come on now.
Most of my salutes, actually, the vast majority of my salutes have been at sea level.
It's one thing to do the Mile High Club, but the Mile High Salute, that's where it's at.
Which one's more exclusive? Probably the salute, honestly.
The salute, because, I mean, you have to be part of those 97 and 98 Broncos teams.
So, like, everyone did the salute after a touchdown.
It got to the point where other teams were doing it to join in on the fun.
Really?
I remember a game where the Broncos played the Patriots. It was either 97 or 98. I think it was 97. The Patriots were getting smoked, again, by Denver. And I think Keith Byers, a Patriots running back, he even joined in on the Mile High saluting. Like, everyone was having a good old time. This is before the salute jumped the shark. Everyone was just saluting each other all the time in 97 and 98.
But the Broncos were winning that game, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes. They won 41-7.
Well, no, I was just wondering because I wondered if I was. Maybe it was a sarcastic gator chomp situation.
No,
you know?
They were getting killed.
That's crazy.
It was like a fun. It was like a fun Mile High salute. Everyone got into it.
Simpler times, man.
If you remember it back then, there was. I remember doing that at school with my friends.
It's like
every
the
day.
Gritty now. Oh, it's like LSU. How LSU invented the grill, yeah. The gritty, and now everyone does it, even against LSU. That's now it's the Mile High salute.
I'm gonna be honest. How is Terrell Davis in the Hall of Fame?
Whoa.
I'm looking at his stats. He is...
We're honoring him for the countdown, and you're doing this?
Come on.
I mean, yesterday...
He's 58th all-time in career rushing yards.
Yesterday we talked about Jack Tatum was an a-hole for 10 minutes, but still, this is just disrespectful.
Jack Tatum is a Hall of Famer, for what it's worth.
He's 54th all-time in career touchdowns. Tied with former Houston Texan who wore the number 30, Amon Green.
He should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but, I mean, his career got cut short by injury.
I know.
He played 95 to 2002. I mean, his numbers are pretty up there considering he only played for, what, 7 years?
Yeah, they are, for sure. But it's just, my gosh.
I like that. Hey, this guy was obviously a Hall of Famer.
He was so good that he deserved it.
Yeah.
I actually think he is one of the exceptions on that one.
When does Derrick Rose get to the Hall of Fame, then?
When he wins 2 championships and sets the NFL record for rushing yards in a season or scoring points in a year, I guess.
Also, was Derrick Rose good for 5 years?
No, I know.
I don't think he was even good for 5 years.
Do you want his playoff numbers?
They're awesome.
Playoff numbers. 204 carries for 1,140 yards. That's over 5 yards a carry and 12 touchdowns.
That is crazy.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And he had migraines, like debilitating migraines.
What? And Joe wants to kick him out of the Hall of Fame.
I'm sorry.
To make room for...
I apologize.
To make room
for Amon Green.
Amon Green.
he just made that argument right there. No, he was just comparing the numbers. Amon Green, one of the greatest number 30s in Texans history. 30, not a good one. Kevin Johnson, cornerback that they drafted. Johnson was always hurt, too.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's honestly, of all the picks by Rick Smith in the first round, that's probably the worst one. My guy, Stanford Route, in 2012, at the end of his career. Love Stanford Route. Stanford Route's got some great stories about the NFL.
Very rarely do we honor a Houston Texan in this that I've literally never heard
He's a Coug.
Oh, okay.
And
what position did he play?
He was a corner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
played for the Raiders for most of his career. No, Stanford, every now and then I see Stanford out at a bar, and I'm like, I love you, dude. He's still got it. Still going out. All right, a couple of quick stories across the NFL. The 49ers are talking to multiple teams about a possible Brandon Ayuk trade. Steelers, Commanders, but the front runners, the Browns and the Patriots?
Yeah, interesting. He can now negotiate a contract with those teams to help. The 49ers are given permission to do that.
The cost is going to be a lot because I guess the 49ers want something for this year, for the future. And on top of that, you're going to have to pay Brandon Ayuk. It seems like the Patriots would be able to do that. The Browns, I am very curious about how they do that. I will admit, though, even though I have questions about Deshaun Watson, who is the 23rd overall rated quarterback in Madden behind Baker Mayfield and Caleb Williams and Derek Carr and Russell Wilson, I would be intrigued by a Browns team that has both Amari Cooper and Brandon Ayuk at wide receiver. That would be pretty scary, and it's a matter of can Deshaun Watson's shoulder work?
Well, I thought the idea was that they would trade Cooper for Ayuk.
Oh.
And that would be some of the now piece.
That would make a little more sense.
And that way, because I don't think you can pay them both either. You probably could, but it wouldn't be smart to pay them both and Watson.
And I would assume if the Patriots offered anything right now, it would be Matthew Judon.
Yeah,
pass rusher.
I heard Kendrick Bourne.
No. I'd hate to see Kendrick Bourne go.
Well, no, it's just a wide receiver. Like, they want to replace the wide receiver with the wide receiver.
Because Bourne played for
It would also be draft picks.
And Pearsall, because Pearsall's hurt, so they need a body right now. I mean,
Kendrick Bourne, I think, way better than Amari Cooper.
Who would you rather play with? Would you rather play with Drake May?
Is John Lynch listening? Heard all the Mile High Salute talk?
I'd hate to lose Kendrick
Bourne. And tuned in?
Yeah, that's true.
Would you rather have Drake May / Jacoby Brissett be your quarterback or Deshaun Watson?
Like Drake May, obviously.
Yeah, Drake May. And Jacoby. I would rather Jacoby Brissett than Watson.
Yeah, for sure.
Because
I know licensed masseuses in the greater Massachusetts area. I do not want him up there.
Also, Watson, for Brissett, I mean, he's not going to play the entire year. But I know, theoretically, he could play the entire year. Am I going to actually get to play with Deshaun Watson for that long?
Might get hurt. But then you have Joe Flacco. Oh, no, you don't.
No, he's on the... No,
you have
Winston.
James Winston.
Hey, okay, now I'm back in.
Look, James...
Back in on the Browns.
James is a 30-30 guy, okay? How many guys throw 30 touchdowns and 30 picks in the season?
Ask Mike Evans if he was a good quarterback to have.
But he says yes.
One last NFL story. There are at least 4 fights at Giants-Lions joints practices. Daniel Jones even got in the fight. Daniel Jones is mad. And he's not just, I'm going to tell my dad on you mad anymore like he's always looked. It's not his fault. He can't. None of us can control how we look. He's always looked, though, like he'd sick his dad on you while wearing a blue blazer and very light-colored cream khakis. Now, he's putting the jacket on the ground. And he's rolling up his sleeves.
Hey, it's time to go to war. Go to war for your guys.
Mm-hmm.
Prove that you're the quarterback, not Drew Locke. Get into fights. Gotta get in squabbles.
That Giants Hard Knocks was actually entertaining, and I'm bummed out because that means that the next version of Offseason Hard Knocks is not going to be entertaining.
I just don't know if it'll exist anymore. They showed way too much.
No, they showed exactly enough.
No, yes. They showed plenty for to keep us intrigued.
Yeah.
But they showed too much for the teams. Like
in a good way. Too much for them. It is too much behind the kimono for them.
Yeah,
but
the teams don't like how much they showed.
We love how much they showed, and we're not going to get anywhere close to that with the Bears.
No. Like, I would love to see like Nick Caserio, like try and negotiate with Stephon Diggs in the Hard Knocks next.
They would. The Texans would have basically body doubles with the they've got people from the Patriots. They're more paranoid than the Soviets after. They launched Sputnik.
Yeah, but you don't want to see like Cal in those meetings, just like talking to Nick one-on-one about what they're doing.
Cal, who is low-key one of the best owners in all of sports, but people don't respect his name. Cal would just take up all the camera time, and Hannah would too, and they would distract away from like the key people.
But if we could get the real stuff, that'd be great. Because they had such a big offseason too; it would have been great.
Big Astros news. We'll discuss that on the other side. That is around the NFL, 30 days away from the start of the NFL season. Kalon and George, stay put.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
0-1. And Dezenzo cranks it deep to right field and way gone!
Astros offense, it's back, baby! As of right now, you just heard the power injected into the Houston Astros lineup. Fret no more, Zach DiZenzo has been called up to the Houston Astros' big-time operation. He's played just 11 games above AA. There are many doubters, but he slashed .391, .472, .739 with 8 extra base hits with Sugarland.
Mm-hmm.
Now he'll try to give the Major League team a spark.
And it's Paul's favorite school. We learned today he went to the Ohio State University.
Oh, I thought you were about to say he went to Syracuse. Syracuse doesn't have a baseball team.
We'll see how it goes. I'm curious who's going down. My guess is it's Cabbage. God, this just reeks of desperation.
No.
I want to be excited for this kid.
No.
11 games in AAA?
Joe, come on, man. Come on. In 38 games this year, .306. 13 doubles, 6 homers, 24 runs batted in. Who are you to say that somebody who was hit at the AAA level is going to find Major League pitching more difficult? If he was able to make the jump from AA to AAA,
mm-hmm.
I suppose you would want to make the jump from AAA to quadruple A because there's a level of baseball that we believe is in between the AAA level and the major league level, but he's skipping that because the Astros believe in him. Just because Dana Brown is willing to play young players, Joe, is no reason to show your true ageist colors.
I mean, look, if they're going to do this, then I'm done with Chaz.
You're done with Chaz. Like,
play the young guys. Play Leon. Play DiCenzo. Try the youth movement. Try something different. We know that Chaz sucks. We know that Jake Meyer can't hit. Maybe these guys don't. Pedro Leon's fast. They kept talking about he's got to get on base first. But, you know, he's fast. He's got a good arm in the outfield.
I'd hope he's fast. I assume all outfielders are fast.
Chaz isn't really. Actually, Todd, the show is right. They're probably just releasing the Ledmus Diaz. So,
oh,
no, I mean, but just play the young guys. Like,
it was a nice reunion with the Ledmus.
Yeah. He started one game at first base.
Chaz McCormick is 0 for his last five, but he has been hit by a pitch along the way, and he only has one strikeout.
DiCenzo can do that.
Yeah.
Kidding me?
I mean, when Chaz got hit by a pitch, did it drive in a run? No.
No.
It's Jeremy Pena.
Yeah.
So he can't even get hit. As soon as I said it, I was like, I don't remember who got hit.
Because two guys got hit. That's what was confusing.
But, you know, like, DiCenzo can do that. So, like, just give it to him. Like, if you're going to suck.
See? You're already on board.
If your offense is going to be terrible, like, at least be different. Change it up, Joe Spada.
Well, it's not going to be terrible anymore. You don't get it.
DiCenzo.
You don't know ball like I do, Joe. Everything's fine now. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's good and fine and good.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is wrong. I'm feeling great.
Everything's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Astros are back. World Series 2024.
Back on the menu.
I'm not going to go that far.
I mean, look, last time the Astros were in the World Series, they had a rookie win World Series MVP. Zach DiCenzo. Can he do next year?
Pena. Well, I mean, Pena did play the whole year.
Oh, yeah.
They also won a World Series, what, 2 weekends ago against the Dodgers?
That's true. They've won their three World Series this year.
They're 3-0.
That's true. They got at least one more coming.
Dynasty.
Yeah.
I know we sound sarcastic. We're not. This is the fix. And if that's not the fix, then the other guy, Whitcomb, he's the fix.
I'd rather them try this than roll out guys like Ledmus Diaz.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Like, just try something different. The bottom of the order is terrible. It's better to roll up a guy who moved to triple A. He's hitting .391. It clearly wasn't an issue for him. Just give it a shot.
Sarcasm now aside, I mean, the young players have done pretty well for this team when given time.
Mm-hmm.
You might be at the point in the year now where how much can you really get out of DiCenzo moving him up a level like this, but outside of the often bullied Blair Henley. You take a look at Spencer Arrighetti, what he has done this year, what Joey Loprofito did, what Jake Bloss did to a degree, maybe less with Jake Bloss, but Dana Brown clearly isn't afraid to bring up young players. And considering there were so many people online bitching and moaning about the things that Dusty Baker wouldn't do, and how often he would stick with a veteran, say, like under Ledmus Diaz. This is, at the very least, different from something that a lot of people didn't like. That's all I got.
No, I agree. It's interesting, though. Remember, like, at the beginning of the season, Joe was really moving stuff around all over the place? In this recent funk, as he's called it, I know Tucker's not there, but, like, we haven't seen the move to, you know, have Pena bat second and... So I guess this is what they're going to try. Like, they're going to try to bring up young guys and just see if any of them can catch a spark and get the whole thing moving a little bit. It's like to be young and dumb at this point.
Hell,
like,
just
try to, you know, go out there and put the bat on the ball and see how far it goes.
I love putting the bat on the ball.
It's all you need to do.
Being young and dumb.
And young and dumb's the best.
Mm-hmm. You can't fully quote Point Break there. I don't think we can say the last word.
Nope.
Utah get me too?
No.
I don't think
young,
we can,
dumb, either. Full of...
Can't do that.
Full of bleep?
Bleep works.
That rhymes with dumb.
Bum? Full of bum?
Yeah.
Okay.
Try not to say that one more time.
Full of yum?
Joe's getting uncomfortable.
I'm getting nervous.
Full of chum?
As we're working through the alphabet.
I got close to that one, didn't I?
Yep.
Why can't you say that? Serious question. I'm not going to say it. Relax. But why can't I say it?
That's against the rules.
Why is that against the rules? Some of the rules that have are so arbitrary. Like, why is this word okay? But everyone knows what is the last word there. And I know there's possibly children that are in the car right now. It is school. The summer.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
at the same time.
The rules are dumb. I don't disagree with
you. See, that rhymes with it.
Dumb. Yep. I mean, like, it's like, you ever watch television, like normal television, not HBO, and all of a sudden they drop an F-bomb?
I don't see.
It's like startling when they do that still, though.
This is how I don't understand how you still watch network TV, because network TV is like, they have both of their hands tied behind their back.
Even then, like, they're going away with it. Like, they're being more loosey-goosey.
Well, a little more loosey-goosey, yeah. But they're still not that loosey-goosey with it, you know? Where if you watch on HBO or on Paramount, Netflix, etc., like, they don't have any of these restrictions.
It's true.
So why do we have these restrictions?
Great question.
Because the FCC won't let us be.
Let me be me.
Yeah. We also,
things will be different
without
me. Also,
don't quote that song either. I don't.
Why can't I quote that one?
For a lot of reasons.
What does he say?
The FCC.
I don't know what he says.
Oh.
I'm just looking back and forth at
I do
Sean
feel like
Joe.
It's time for like a Paul rap, though. The other day, it did surprise me. What did you rap the other day?
He actually says the word that we can't say
in
that song.
What song?
Didn't you rap DMX the other day?
Oh. Oh, yeah. Like the whitest version of DMX. Yeah. Ride or die. What you really want. What you really want. What's my name? Zach DiZenzo, newest Houston Astro. Galana George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. On Twitch, too, at ESPN 97.5. YouTube as well at ESPN Houston. DMX. RIP. Our sweet prince. I mean, I don't want to talk about last night anymore. So what's worse than the Astros offense right now? And is Zach DiCenzo going to fix it? 713-780-3776 to call to text. Plus 230. We figure out if Titus Howard's dead.
ESPN 97.5.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save